Okay, let's unpack this. Imagine a company that's quietly building the digital superhighways for the biggest names in tech, you know, the very infrastructure powering our cloud and AI-driven world. This isn't exactly a household name for many, but look, without them, the internet as we know it and this whole accelerating world of artificial intelligence, it would probably just grind to a halt.
Yeah, absolutely.
That company is Arista Networks, and today we're taking a deep dive into what makes them tick, their disruptive rise, and the complex, rapidly evolving landscape they navigate.
And for you, the curious learner, our mission today is really to distill a comprehensive investment analysis of Arista Networks, or ANET as they're known on the stock market. We'll go far beyond just the headlines and the market chatter to help you understand their strategic position, their unique technological differentiation, their really exceptional financial performance, and critically, both the immense opportunities and, the significant risks that lie ahead. Think of it as gaining a clear, data-driven understanding of a truly pivotal player in modern networking, not just what they do, but why it matters to the global digital economy, all without getting lost in overwhelming technical jargon.
And we've got a fantastic stack of sources for this deep dive, primarily centered around a detailed, comprehensive investment analysis, Arista Networks Inc. report.
Yeah, it's pretty thorough.
It really is. And this isn't just one analyst's opinion. It pulls together insights from a whole range of publicly available financial filings, like their 10-Ks and 10-Qs, investor communications, plus reputable independent industry research from powerhouses like IDC and Dell'Oro Group, among others.
The big names in network analysis.
Exactly. So we'll be meticulously extracting the most important nuggets of information from these materials, focusing purely on the facts and data presented to give you the clearest, most objective picture possible.
Good plan.
So let's jump right in. At its heart, what's the big story for Arista Networks? The analysis points to them as a disruptor, really carving out a significant niche. How did they manage that, especially against such, well, entrenched competitors? And what's the central thesis behind their success?
Well, what's fascinating here and truly sets Arista apart is that their core investment thesis isn't just about selling faster hardware. It's fundamentally built on a superior software-first architecture.
Software first.
Yes. This was pretty revolutionary when they entered the market, and it allowed them to successfully disrupt the highly competitive data center networking space. Historically, networking was dominated by these complex, monolithic hardware boxes running proprietary, often quite clunky operating systems.
Right, the old way.
Arista basically turned that on its head.
So it's the software that's really the key differentiator for them, even though they're selling physical network equipment. That feels like a crucial distinction. I mean, you know, for many people, a switch is just a switch.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The software is the engine. It's the true intellectual property, and it's the primary source of their competitive advantage. It's why, when you look at their financials, they don't just look like a traditional hardware vendor, typically lower margin, slower growth.
Yeah.
They actually look more like an elite software company. We're talking sustained high double-digit revenue growth and industry-leading profitability margins that are exceptionally high for companies selling physical boxes.
Wow.
And this isn't just about impressive numbers. It signifies a fundamental agility and adaptability that, frankly, traditional hardware giants struggle to replicate. I mean, imagine trying to pivot a supertanker versus a speedboat when faced with rapid tech shifts like AI. That's kind of the strategic advantage Arista's software foundation gives them. It makes them uniquely positioned to lead where others are maybe just following.
That makes a lot of sense. Software flexibility lets them adapt much faster, more efficiently. So, how does this software-centric approach position them for the future, especially with something as, well, transformative as AI?
Well, looking forward, Arista is really uniquely positioned to capture what the analysis calls a significant incremental growth catalyst from this ongoing multi-year investment cycle in AI infrastructure.
Okay.
This isn't just a small bump in demand. It's a foundational shift in how data centers are being built. It requires entirely new levels of network performance reliability.
Totally different requirements.
Totally different. And Arista's software-driven approach makes them a natural fit for these incredibly demanding new environments. They've consistently gained market share, particularly in those high-performance switching segments, the ones absolutely critical for modern cloud and AI infrastructure, where scale and efficiency are just paramount.
But it's never just smooth sailing in the tech world, is it? Immense power often comes with, well, equally immense vulnerabilities. The analysis also highlights some significant counterbalancing risks. What are those, especially given the software superpower they have?
Exactly. And this raises a really important question. How does a company keep up that rapid growth while managing the inherent vulnerabilities that actually come with its very strengths?
Yeah.
The analysis points squarely at a high degree of customer concentration. We're talking about two hyperscale clients, Microsoft and Meta Platforms, which together account for a really substantial portion of Arista's revenue.
Okay, the big guys.
The biggest. And while these are massive high-spending customers, this heavy reliance exposes Arista to the inherent volatility of cloud capital expenditure cycles. These giants can ramp up spending incredibly quickly, sure, but they can also hit these digestion phases where they pause or cut back on new infrastructure deployments after a major build-out.
Right, catch their breath.
Exactly. And crucially, Arista is also exposed to the specific technology roadmaps of these key partners. If one of them decides to change direction, maybe adopt a different technology, or even decides to build more in-house, well, that has a direct and significant impact on Arista's top line.
So their biggest strength serving these hyperscalers, the cloud and AI titans, is also potentially their biggest weakness. That's a classic double-edged sword.
It really is.
What about the broader competitive landscape? Is it still just Cisco they're mainly up against, or are new threats, maybe more insidious ones, emerging?
Oh, the competitive landscape is intensely dynamic, far beyond just the traditional rivals. While Arista has, you know, successfully challenged the longtime incumbent Cisco, new and pretty formidable threats are definitely emerging.
Like who?
Well, the analysis highlights vertically integrated players like NVIDIA. They are increasingly bundling networking solutions with their dominant AI computing platform.
Ah, okay. The full stack play.
Exactly. NVIDIA aims to offer a complete optimized stack, silicon, software, networking. And this could create significant pressure for customers to just adopt the full-stack NVIDIA solution for their AI infrastructure, potentially marginalizing third-party networking vendors.
That's a big threat.
It is. And then there's the long-term risk that some of Arista's largest customers, particularly the most sophisticated hyperscalers, could develop their own white box networking hardware and just use open-source operating systems like SONiC.
Right, build it themselves.
Yeah. That effectively turns a customer into a competitor, at least for part of the hardware stack.
That's a fascinating challenge. If your biggest customers decide to become your competitors on the hardware side, that changes the game entirely. And I imagine their valuation, their stock market price, reflects these high expectations you've mentioned, which makes them susceptible to shifts in market sentiment.
Precisely. The company's premium valuation, which we'll definitely dig into later, directly reflects the market's extremely high expectations for future growth and profitability.
Okay.
This also means they're quite susceptible to shifts in market sentiment or, you know, any shortfalls in execution. If they don't meet those elevated expectations, even by a little bit, the market could react swiftly and, frankly, dramatically, leading to a contraction in their valuation multiple.
Right.
So managing those expectations while consistently delivering is a constant balancing act for the management team.
Let's zoom out a bit. What's the sheer size of the playing field Arista operates in? Are they in a niche, or is this a truly expansive and growing market that gives them a long runway for growth?
Oh, the analysis makes it abundantly clear they're operating in a massive and rapidly expanding market. Their core business is the global data center networking market. That was estimated at roughly $35 billion to $38 billion in 2024.
Okay, that's already huge.
It is. But here's where it gets really interesting. Projections for this market aren't just growing, they're kind of exploding. Forecasts range from $64 billion up to as high as $155 billion by the 2029-2033 timeframe.
$155 billion? Wow.
Yeah. This implies a strong compound annual growth rate, or CAGR, of anywhere from 11.3% to a really remarkable 17.2%, depending on which report you look at. That is an incredibly powerful tailwind for their core business. It signals sustained, robust growth for years to come. And that upper end of the range, that's typically driven by the aggressive adoption of new, higher-speed Ethernet tech, specifically for AI workloads.
So it's not just a big market. It's a rapidly growing big market, fueled heavily by cloud and AI. That definitely gives them a lot of room to run. But are they content to just stay in the data center, or are they actively looking at, you know, new territories to expand their total addressable market?
They're definitely not content to stay put, and this is a key part of their long-term strategy. Arista is strategically expanding into the broader enterprise networking market.
Okay.
This includes things like campus and branch office deployments. This represents a substantially larger total addressable market, or TAM, for them to go after.
How much larger?
Well, this enterprise networking market was estimated at around $124.6 billion in 2025, with projections to hit $193.8 billion by 2030, still growing at a healthy 9.2% CAGR.
Okay, so significantly bigger playground.
Much bigger. And Arista's management has even put out its own more aggressive view of this opportunity. They identify a current TAM of over $50 billion across the markets they serve today, with a strategic target to address a $70 billion TAM by 2028.
$70 billion by 2028.
Yeah. So that signals a very long runway for growth. But of course, it is contingent on their ability to successfully penetrate these adjacent markets where, you know, incumbents have dominated for decades. It's challenging, but potentially a highly rewarding diversification strategy.
So who are the main players in this concentrated networking industry, and how is Arista really stacking up against them? Are they genuinely eating into the market share of the giants, or are they just growing alongside them in these newer segments?
Well, we're talking about a concentrated competitive landscape, right? Cisco Systems is the longtime market incumbent. Then you have Juniper Networks, Broadcom, HPE's Aruba division.
The usual suspects.
The usual suspects. But the market share data from the sources tells a really compelling story of disruption and, frankly, a shift in power. According to IDC data for Q3 2024, Cisco still held the largest overall Ethernet switch share at 37.2%.
Still number one overall.
Still number one overall.
Yeah.
However, and this is crucial, Cisco's revenues saw a sharp decline of 24.0% year over year in that period.
Ouch. Down 24%.
Yeah. In stark contrast, Arista's market share stood at a strong 13.6%, and that was propelled by an impressive 18.0% year-over-year increase in revenue during the same period.
Wow. That's a significant divergence in performance.
Yep.
A 24% decline for Cisco versus an 18% increase for Arista. What explains that dramatic gap? Is it just about where each company focuses its efforts, or is there a deeper, maybe structural reason?
Exactly. This divergence is explained by what the analysis calls a structural bifurcation within the market itself.
Okay.
Arista's business is highly focused. Roughly 90% of its revenue comes from the data center, or DC, switching segment. Now, this segment, critically, grew at a robust 18.0% year over year in Q3 2024. Driven by those strong tailwinds of cloud expansion and particularly the build-out of AI infrastructure.
Got it. They're riding the wave.
They are. Conversely, the non-DC segment, which is traditional enterprise campus and branch deployments, where competitors like HPE get about 85% of their switch revenue, that segment actually contracted by a significant 24.7% year over year.
Okay, so Arista's focus is paying off massively.
Massively. Their strategic alignment with the robustly growing high-speed DC segment has been a primary driver of their outperformance, while incumbents with broader, more diversified portfolios face serious headwinds in their legacy markets.
So Arista put almost all its eggs in the data center basket, and that basket is currently booming, while others are spread thinner across declining segments. That strategy clearly paid off. Was there a specific moment when Arista truly became the leader in data center Ethernet switching, like a historical shift?
There was indeed a key inflection point. Sort of a symbolic passing of the torch in a way. Yeah. According to Dell'Oro Group, which is a respected networking industry research firm, Arista actually surpassed Cisco in data center Ethernet switch revenue for the first time ever in the fourth quarter of 2023.
Q4 2023.
Yeah. This was largely attributed to their deep-rooted relationships with those hyperscale customers who were aggressively expanding their infrastructure, coupled with Arista's strong execution in delivering the high-speed Ethernet solutions needed for these next-gen data centers.
Makes sense.
And just to give you a clearer picture from that Q3 2024 data, showing the difference between mixed focus versus data center focus.
Okay.
Cisco, 37.2% overall share, but that minus 24.0% year-over-year decline showing a mixed focus.
Good drift, yes.
Arista, 13.6% share, with that impressive plus 18.0% year-over-year growth, almost entirely from the data center, 90% focus.
Big difference.
Huge. Then you have Huawei at 9.7%, down 6.6%. HPE at 5.3%, really plummeted by 36.4% year-over-year, heavily focused on non-data center. And H3C at 4.1%, down 7.1%.
So the numbers really tell the story there.
They really do. It underscores how Arista's strategic alignment with the fastest growing, most technologically advanced part of the market has allowed it to not just thrive, but to actually become a market leader there, even as the broader market faces significant headwinds.
Beyond just market share numbers, What are the underlying tech trends really driving demand for Arista solutions? It can't just be about who's selling more boxes, right? There have to be bigger, more foundational forces at play, keeping them growing like this.
Oh, absolutely. If we connect this to the bigger picture, several powerful, long-term technological shifts are fueling Arista's business far beyond just, you know, cyclical demand. First, cloud migration is still a fundamental and ongoing driver.
Still, even after all this time.
Still. While many enterprises have moved some workloads to the cloud, the continuous capital expenditures of the hyperscalers, we're talking AWS, Microsoft Azure, Google Cloud, which together command something like 68% of the global cloud infrastructure market as of Q4 2024, these massive multi-billion-dollar investments directly translate into consistent demand for the high-speed, scalable networking gear that is Arista's core competency.
Right.
They're literally building the internet's backbone for the biggest players on the planet, and that build-out is far from over.
And what about the AI explosion everyone's talking about? How does that factor into Arista's trajectory? Is it just hype, or is it a real tangible demand driver for them?
Oh, it's incredibly real. The ML explosion has emerged as the single most significant and, frankly, accelerative catalyst for the entire industry, and especially for Arista.
How so?
Well, training these large AI models, like the ones powering generative AI, it demands connecting thousands, sometimes tens of thousands, of specialized processors, mostly GPUs, in these vast interconnected clusters. These clusters require extremely high bandwidth, ultra-low latency, and critically lossless network fabrics.
Lossless. What does that mean exactly in this context?
Lossless means absolutely no data packets are dropped. Zero. Which is paramount to keep those incredibly expensive GPUs from sitting idle, just waiting for data. Any packet loss, even a tiny bit, can severely degrade the training performance and waste hugely valuable compute cycles.
Right, you need perfect data delivery.
Perfect. And this demanding need for perfect data delivery has triggered a rapid, really unprecedented upgrade cycle to 200 gig, 400 gig, and now even 800 gigabit Ethernet.
800 gig.
Yeah, a segment where Arista has firmly established a leadership position, largely because of its software-driven architecture. Dell'Oro Group even forecasts that spending on Ethernet switches specifically for these AI backend networks will surpass $100 billion over the next 5 years.
$100 billion just for AI backend networks.
Yeah.
Over 5 years. That's a staggering forecast.
It really is. That's not just a boom. It's a fundamental shift in networking demands, creating a massive new market opportunity and a huge sustained driver for Arista.
Wow. So what are the broader implications of such a monumental shift for the entire networking industry? And how specifically does Arista plan to capture such a significant piece of that $100 billion pie?
Well, it's transformative for the whole industry. Mm-hmm. It fundamentally changes the priority and the design of data center networks. You know, traditionally, networking was mostly about connecting servers. Now with AI, it's really about connecting GPUs and ensuring this perfectly choreographed data flow between them.
A different kind of traffic pattern.
Completely different. Arista plans to capture this by leveraging its software-defined Ethernet strengths. Their EOS software provides the real-time telemetry, the advanced traffic management, and the congestion control necessary to ensure these lossless networks function perfectly.
Okay.
So it's not just about raw speed. It's about intelligent management of data across these massive GPU clusters. This shift away from traditional server-to-server traffic to this intense GPU-to-GPU communication, it's really a sweet spot for Arista's design philosophy.
Are there other, maybe less obvious, trends pushing their business forward beyond the core data center and AI?
Yeah. Edge computing and 5G are also significant contributors, although maybe smaller today. The proliferation of the Internet of Things, IoT, and the global rollout of 5G wireless networks are creating demand for new computing architectures that bring processing closer to where the data is generated.
Right, reducing latency.
Exactly. Latency-sensitive applications, think autonomous vehicles, augmented reality, real-time industrial automation. These are driving investment in edge data centers. These are more compact data centers, physically closer to end users to minimize delays, and they necessitate significant network infrastructure upgrades that often mirror the demands of larger cloud deployments, just on a smaller scale, which Arista can also address.
And how is this AI boom impacting their customer base beyond just the traditional hyperscalers? Are new types of customers emerging because of AI, or is it mainly their existing customers just spending a lot more?
It's actually doing both. It's not only deepening Arista's existing relationships with its hyperscaler customers as they invest more heavily in AI, but it's also creating a whole new category of customer.
Oh, interesting. Who?
The analysis refers to these as NeoCloud, or Tier 23 cloud providers.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, large enterprises that are now building their own private AI infrastructure.
Like big companies doing their own AI.
Exactly. Think large pharmaceutical firms, financial institutions, maybe even large research universities creating their own AI compute farms. Arista has reported winning between 25 and 30 new customers in this emerging category. And this development provides a crucial link between the AI catalyst and the company's enterprise diversification strategy. It suggests that Arista's growth in the enterprise segment is increasingly tied to the high-growth AI infrastructure build-out, rather than just traditional enterprise IT refresh cycles, which, as we noted, are actually contracting for many incumbents right now.
Right.
So it's a powerful and growing new segment for them.
So who are these customers driving all this demand, and how does that break down in terms of Arista's revenue base? Can we get a clearer picture of their customer segmentation?
Yeah, the analysis does a great job of breaking down Arista's revenue base for fiscal year 2024. And it really highlights its deep entrenchment with these high-spending, technologically advanced customers. The largest segment, accounting for a significant 48% of total revenue.
Almost half.
Almost half, yeah. Was what they call the cloud and AI titans. This includes the largest hyperscale cloud providers we just talked about, Microsoft, Meta, others who are just investing billions into their infrastructure for both general cloud services and specialized AI compute.
So almost half their business is directly with the giants building the cloud and AI. That makes perfect sense given what we just discussed about hyperscale spending and the AI boom. What about the rest of their customer base? Who makes up the other half?
Well, the next largest segment, making up 35% of revenue, was enterprise and financials.
Okay.
This is a pretty diverse segment. It includes large corporations across various industries, manufacturing, retail, and also sophisticated financial services firms.
Right.
This group is increasingly adopting cloud-like architectures for their own data centers, or as we just mentioned, building private AI infrastructure.
Right.
And finally, the providers category. This includes telecommunications service providers, cable operators, other specialized network operators. They accounted for the remaining 17% of revenue. These are the companies building out the public internet and providing connectivity. So this customer mix is crucial. It clearly demonstrates Arista's deep entrenchment with the world's largest and most technologically advanced consumers of networking equipment. And that provides both a significant growth driver and, as we discussed, that notable concentration risk.
Right. Powerful engine, few big cylinders.
Exactly. It's a powerful engine, but it runs on a relatively small number of very, very large customers.
Let's dive deeper into their tech now. The analysis points to Arista's extensible operating system, EOS, as their primary competitive differentiation. For someone who might not be a network engineer, what's so special about EOS? What makes it truly stand out against the older, more established systems from competitors?
This is truly where that software company comparison shines, and why it's not just, you know, a marketing slogan. EOS was designed literally from the ground up for modern, large-scale cloud data centers, specifically to overcome the inherent shortcomings of legacy systems that just weren't built for this kind of agility or scale or automation. Its core architecture is built upon an unmodified standard Linux kernel. Now, this foundational decision is incredibly smart because it provides inherent stability, robust security, and critically allows both Arista and its customers to leverage the vast open source ecosystem of standard Linux tools and utilities for management and automation.
Ah, so they're building on something familiar and proven.
Exactly. It's like building on a robust open foundation that developers already understand, rather than some proprietary closed system that requires specialized, often arcane, knowledge.
So it's not just a Linux-based system, but there's a unique architectural component that really sets it apart, isn't there? I heard something about a state-sharing database, or SysDB. How does that work, and what's the significance of that?
Yes, that's SysDB, the system database. And it's really at the heart of EOS. It's this unique architectural component, a centralized in-memory database that stores all the state information of the switch. Everything, every configuration, every connection, every routing table entry. Think of it like a single, constantly updated real-time brain for the entire network device.
Mm-hmm.
Now, individual processes like the BGP routing protocol, the SNMP management agent, even the command line interface, they operate independently. They simply subscribe to SysDB for the state information they need, rather than communicating directly with each other or having their own sort of siloed view of the network state.
I see. Decoupled.
Exactly. This decoupling of processes from the central state is what makes EOS so incredibly robust and flexible.
And what's the practical, real-world benefit of that unique architecture for customers operating these massive cloud networks? Does it mean the network is significantly more reliable, more resilient?
Absolutely. That's precisely it. A critical benefit of SysDB is what they call software fault containment. Because processes are decoupled and draw their info from this single consistent database, if one process encounters a fault and crashes, maybe a bug in a routing protocol, for example, it can restart cleanly and instantly without impacting the rest of the system or, crucially, the hardware's ability to forward traffic.
Okay, so one piece breaks, the rest keeps running.
Exactly. Think of traditional networks, maybe like a complex orchestra where each musician has their own sheet music. If one misreads a note or drops their instrument, the whole piece can fall apart.
Right. Chaos.
Arista SysDB is like a central, instantly updated conductor score that everyone is constantly synchronized with. If one instrument momentarily falters, the overall symphony continues seamlessly because the central brain maintains perfect harmony and allows for rapid recovery.
That's a great analogy.
And that difference in resilience is so critical for these cloud titans, where even a few seconds of downtime can be catastrophic, literally costing millions.
That's a powerful differentiator, especially for mission-critical infrastructure. What about making it easier for their cloud customers to manage these massive networks? Automation is absolutely key in the cloud, right? It's not about logging into individual boxes anymore.
It's exactly right. EOS was designed with automation as a first principle, which is essential for cloud customers managing tens of thousands of devices, needing to provision and configure them at scale.
Yeah.
It offers a rich set of programmatic interfaces that go far beyond traditional methods. You have the familiar command line interface, the CLI, sure. But also direct Linux shell access, robust application programming interfaces, APIs like eAPI, which is JSON-based, and native support for Python scripting.
So lots of ways to control it programmatically.
Lots of ways. This deep programmability allows customers to use modern DevOps tool chains, things like Ansible, Puppet, Terraform to automate network provisioning, configuration, management. Mm. Essentially, they can treat the network infrastructure more like software code. Define desired states, let automation tools handle the deployment, and changes consistently across their entire fleet.
And there's also something unique about how they deliver the software itself, a single binary image. How does that seemingly simple concept impact their customers' operations in a significant way?
Yes, the single binary image. This is a key operational advantage that truly sets Arista apart and contributes immensely to their customer stickiness. They commit to having one single software image that runs across their entire product portfolio.
The whole portfolio, from smallest to biggest.
The whole portfolio, from their smallest campus, switches all the way up to their largest modular data center chassis. Now, this strategy stands in stark contrast to competitors like Cisco, for example, who maintain multiple distinct operating systems like iOS, NXOS, etc., and numerous software trains for different product families, each with its own quirks, bugs, and upgrade paths.
Right, which sounds like a management nightmare.
It can be. So for a customer, Arista's approach dramatically simplifies the operational burden of network management. A network operations team only needs to test and qualify one version of EOS.
Okay.
And be confident it will run consistently with the same feature set, same behavior, across their entire Arista infrastructure, regardless of the specific hardware model.
So for a customer, that means a vastly simpler operational experience. Less testing, fewer headaches.
Precisely. This simplification directly reduces operational expenditures, OPEX. It lowers training costs, minimizes errors, speeds up deployments. It also significantly enhances network reliability by minimizing the variables and potential interoperability issues that come from managing a patchwork of different OCs.
Yeah, makes sense.
And this operational efficiency creates powerful customer stickiness. Once an organization has built its processes around the simplicity and reliability of a single OS, the cost, complexity, and risk of migrating to a multi-OS vendor become a very, very significant deterrent. It's a truly powerful competitive moat.
That's a clear advantage born from their software-first approach. But they still sell physical hardware. They also have a unique hardware strategy, right? How do they balance their software focus with the physical equipment itself?
Yes. Their hardware strategy is really designed for speed, both performance speed and time-to-market speed. They offer a comprehensive portfolio, high-performance switches, and router supporting speeds from 1 gig up to 800 gigabits per second, catering to all tiers of the data center and now increasingly the campus, too.
Okay.
A cornerstone of this strategy is their disciplined use of merchant silicon.
Merchant silicon, meaning chips from other companies.
Exactly. These are high-performance networking chips developed by specialized semiconductor companies like Broadcom. Arista uses these instead of designing proprietary custom ASICs in-house, which is a common practice for some incumbents.
So they're not reinventing the wheel on the chips themselves. What's the benefit of that for Arista and ultimately for their customers?
Well, think of it like using the best, readily available, purpose-built engines rather than trying to build your own from scratch every time. This allows Arista to leverage the rapid innovation cycles and the economies of scale of the broader semiconductor industry. They can bring products with the latest port speeds and densities to market more quickly and often at a better price-to-performance ratio than competitors tied to the longer, more expensive, and often riskier development cycles of custom silicon. Now, while this strategy might seem like it could lead to commoditization because theoretically competitors could use the same hardware chips.
Yeah, that was my next question.
Arista's defense against that lies entirely in their EOS software. EOS abstracts the underlying hardware, and its unique features, the resilience, programmability, automation we just discussed, those are the core of their value proposition and their primary competitive moat. The hardware is the vessel, the software is the treasure inside.
Got it. The value is layered on top. So, what are their sustainable competitive advantages then? Their enduring moats that keep competitors at bay, even with potentially shared hardware components. How do they ensure customers stick with them long term?
Well, their moats are built on a powerful combination of technology, deep relationships, and a sterling reputation. First, those deep hyperscaler relationships we touched upon. Arista has cultivated these incredibly deep collaborative engineering relationships with its largest cloud titan customers, including Microsoft and Meta, for over a decade. These aren't just transactional sales. They involve true co-development of tailored solutions that meet the unique massive scale requirements of these customers.
So they're building stuff together.
This level of integration creates extremely high switching costs for the hyperscalers. I mean, imagine trying to rip out and replace custom-built infrastructure at that scale.
Yeah, nightmare.
And it gives Arista unparalleled insight into the future direction of network architecture, allowing them to precisely align their R&D roadmap with the needs of the industry's most demanding users. It's a very tight, mutually beneficial feedback loop that really locks customers in.
And their software ecosystem itself, beyond just EOS running on the individual switch, how does that create a moat? Is there more to it?
Oh, absolutely. The value of Arista's platform extends significantly beyond the individual switch. Their CloudVision software platform provides a single point of control for network-wide automation, orchestration, and real-time telemetry.
Okay, managing a whole fleet.
Managing the whole fleet. CloudVision allows customers to design, provision, and monitor their entire network as a single entity, regardless of size or geographic distribution. Now, as customers build their intricate operational workflows around CloudVision, leveraging its APIs, its analytics, its automation capabilities, they become deeply embedded in the Arista ecosystem.
Right, it becomes part of how they operate.
This makes switching to a competitor progressively more difficult and costly because it's not just about replacing hardware, it's about rebuilding entire operational processes and losing invaluable real-time network intelligence. It's an ecosystem play, not just a product play, and that creates profound stickiness.
Finally, what about their reputation in the industry? Does that play a significant role in customer loyalty, especially when reliability is so absolutely crucial?
In an industry where network downtime can have severe financial consequences, reliability and trust are paramount. Arista has cultivated a consistently strong reputation for the stability of its EOS software. They're famously known for having very few software bugs compared to competitors.
That's a big deal.
It's huge.
Yeah.
And also for the high quality of its technical support. In early 2025, CEO Jayshree Ullal cited an incredible Net Promoter Score, or NPS, of 87.
87, that's incredibly high.
It's exceptionally high. For context, an NPS above 50 is generally considered excellent, so 87 indicates truly strong customer satisfaction and loyalty. This reputation serves as a key differentiator, particularly when competing against incumbents who have reportedly faced challenges with software quality and customer support experiences in recent years. Customers are often willing to pay a premium for that peace of mind, that operational simplicity, and the assurance that their critical infrastructure will just work.
Let's talk numbers then. Given all we've discussed about their disruptive software, their market position, those moats, how has Arista's financial performance actually been? Are they truly living up to that elite software company comparison you mentioned earlier?
Their financial track record is indeed exceptional, and it certainly supports that comparison. Annual revenue grew from $4.38 billion in fiscal 2022 to $5.86 billion in 2023. That's a strong 33.8% year-over-year increase.
Wow.
And it grew further to $7 billion in 2024, showing a robust 19.5% growth rate, even despite some market headwinds.
Still strong.
Very strong. And this momentum has continued to accelerate even more recently, largely driven by that surge in demand from AI infrastructure buildouts. Mm-hmm. For the second quarter of 2025, Arista reported revenue of $2.205 billion. That was a remarkable 30.4% year-over-year increase.
Over 30% growth.
Yeah. And reflecting this incredibly strong demand environment, management actually raised its full-year 2025 revenue growth guidance. They started at 17%, bumped it up to a more robust 25%, now targeting approximately $8.75 billion in total revenue for the year.
$8.75 billion.
That's truly remarkable for what is fundamentally a company selling physical hardware, especially at their scale.
That's incredibly strong growth, especially for a company of their size, and that increased guidance signals deep confidence. How is that revenue broken down? And is there any indication of future revenue stability or visibility in those numbers?
Yeah, so the company's revenue is primarily from product sales. That accounted for 84% or $5.88 billion of total revenue in fiscal 2024. That's all their network switches and routers.
Okay.
The remaining 16% or $1.12 billion came from services mainly technical support and maintenance contracts. Now, this growing base of service revenue provides a stable and recurring stream that adds significant visibility and predictability to their overall financial model. It acts as a bit of a buffer during potential hardware spending slowdowns.
Right. Recurring revenue is key.
Absolutely. And a particularly notable trend is the growth in the company's deferred revenue balance. That reached $4.1 billion in Q2 2025.
$4.1 billion deferred.
Yeah. And this isn't just an accounting entry. The product-related portion of this balance increased by a significant $687 million in that quarter alone. Management attributes this increase to new product introductions and these complex AI deployments that have longer customer acceptance cycles.
Ah, okay.
So it serves as a strong leading indicator of future revenue recognition and reflects deep multi-year customer commitment to the Arista platform.
And what about profitability? Are those software-like margins translating to high profits, or are they just plowing all that revenue back into R&D and expansion?
Oh, no. Arista's profitability metrics are a key strength and a significant point of differentiation. They consistently deliver strong gross margins, which hover in the mid-60s. Their GAAP gross margin was 64.1% in fiscal 2024, up from 61.9% the prior year. That indicates strong pricing power, good cost management.
Yeah.
In Q2 2025, their non-jet gross margin was even higher at 65.6%, exceeding their own guidance and signaling excellent operational efficiency. And their ability to scale operations efficiently is further evident in their industry-leading operating margins. For the full year 2024, Arista achieved a non-GAAP operating margin of 47.5%.
47.5% operating margin, that's huge for hardware.
It's huge. And this strong performance continued into 2025, reaching a record non-GAAP operating margin of 48.8% in the second quarter. These margins are substantially higher than most hardware-centric competitors, clearly underscoring the high-value software-driven nature of Arista's solutions. They truly generate software-like profits from their hardware sales.
So if we look at the numbers again, their total revenue jumped from $4.381 billion in 2022 to $7.003 billion in 2024, with expectations to hit around $8.75 billion in 2025.
Mm-hmm.
And their non-GAAP operating margins are consistently hovering near 50%. These are just stellar figures for any tech company, let alone one selling hardware. But networking can be inherently cyclical, right? Because of large capital expenditure cycles. How does Arista manage that, especially given their reliance on big CapEx from the hyperscalers?
Indeed. As a supplier of capital equipment, Arista's business is inherently exposed to the cyclicality of IT spending, particularly the CapEx cycles of its large cloud provider customers.
Yeah.
The company has experienced periods of revenue volatility in the past because of these digestion phases, where major customers might pause new infrastructure spending after completing a large build-out, just to absorb and utilize the gear they already deployed.
Right.
The recent slowdown in non-AI cloud spending and the subsequent working down of excess customer inventory in late 2023 and early 2024 is a recent example of this dynamic. It caused some lumpiness in their traditional cloud segment.
What are those mitigating factors then? What could potentially smooth out that cyclicality going forward?
Well, several factors might help mitigate this cyclicality. The diversification of their customer base into the enterprise segment, while still a work in progress, could provide a counterbalance to the often lumpy spending patterns of the hyperscalers. More importantly, though, the current dominant growth driver, that build-out of AI infrastructure, is widely viewed as a multi-year secular trend rather than just a short-term cyclical upswing.
Secular, meaning longer-term, more fundamental shift.
Exactly. This suggests a more sustained period of intense investment from a broader set of customers, potentially smoothing out revenue patterns over the medium term. This AI demand is so strong, it's actually offsetting digestion in other areas for them right now.
What were some of the big headlines or strategic moves or macroeconomic factors impacting Arista in recent years, say from 2022 to mid-2024? What were the transformative events shaping their recent trajectory?
Well, the period has been truly transformative for Arista. The AML infrastructure boom is, without a doubt, the single most significant development impacting their business.
Right.
The company successfully positioned its high-speed Ethernet platforms as a compelling and often more cost-effective alternative to NVIDIA's proprietary InfiniBand technology for building those back-end networks needed for massive AI training clusters.
That was a smart move.
It was incredibly prescient. Management's commentary has pivoted strongly to emphasize networking for AI, and they've provided tangible financial targets, like exceeding $1.5 billion in aggregate AI networking revenue in 2025, growing from basically zero in 2022.
$1.5 billion just from AI networking?
Yeah. This underscores the success of this strategic focus and how absolutely pivotal AI is to their current and future growth.
How did they navigate the notorious supply chain issues that plagued so many tech companies globally over the past few years? That was a massive challenge for many.
Yeah, it was. Following the widespread semiconductor shortages and supply chain disruptions of the pandemic era, Arista, like many others, made significant investments to secure components and manage those extended lead times. They built up inventory to ensure product availability.
Okay.
As supply chains normalized through 2023 and 2024, the focus shifted from securing supply to managing a period of inventory digestion, particularly among its large cloud customers who had maybe accumulated excess networking gear during the constrained periods.
Right, the pendulum swings back.
Yeah.
Exactly. By mid-2025, management commentary indicated that this digestion phase was easing, with a more balanced spending environment emerging between AI and traditional cloud infrastructure. They seem to have handled that transition well, demonstrating strong operational discipline.
And the broader macroeconomic environment, rising interest rates, inflationary pressures, general IT spending concerns, how did they fare amidst all that, particularly when other companies were clearly struggling?
Arista has navigated a complex macroeconomic environment, characterized by rising interest rates, inflation, broader concerns about a slowdown in global IT spending.
Yeah, tough times.
Tough times. While the broader enterprise networking market experienced a contraction in certain segments, particularly traditional campus and branch, Arista's deep exposure to high-priority AI and cloud infrastructure projects provided a significant degree of insulation.
Ah, their solutions were basically deemed essential investments by their large customers, allowing the company to continue its strong growth trajectory and maintain profitability even when others struggled or saw their markets contract. They were strategically in the right place at the right time.
They've also been active with strategic acquisitions and product launches beyond just organic growth. The acquisition of VeloCloud from Broadcom stands out. What was the rationale there, and how does that fit into their broader strategy?
Yeah, the acquisition of VeloCloud in July 2025 from Broadcom for $300 million was a significant strategic move. It was really aimed at bolstering its enterprise networking portfolio and enabling its broader cloud-to-edge vision.
Okay.
This provides Arista with a leading product in the critical SD-WAN, or software-defined wide area network, market.
SD-WAN, right.
Yeah.
Connecting branches.
Exactly. SD-WAN is essential for securely connecting geographically dispersed branch offices and remote workers to cloud applications. The strategic rationale for Arista isn't just to sell SD-WAN products in isolation, but to use this capability as a crucial entry point to compete for holistic enterprise networking deals, deals that encompass the campus, the data center, and the wide area network.
Ah, the whole package.
The whole package. This is a necessary step to really challenge Cisco's end-to-end enterprise portfolio, which historically covered all those domains. However, Management has been quite transparent about the integration challenges inherent in acquiring a business unit like this.
Okay.
They noted the VeloCloud business will require investment to rebuild its revenue base and won't be a material contributor in 2025. So that signals a key execution risk for investors to monitor. It's definitely a long-term strategic play.
It sounds like a big strategic play, but with an acknowledged integration challenge ahead. What other key product launches or corporate actions were notable during this period?
Well, beyond VeloCloud, they also launched a comprehensive suite of products branded as Etherlink. These are specifically designed and optimized for the unique ultra-high-speed demands of AI networking.
Etherlink.
This portfolio includes those 800 gigabit Ethernet switches we mentioned, crucial for connecting AI accelerators. And these aren't just faster boxes. They integrate deeply with EOS for critical AI network management features.
Got it.
And on the corporate side, to improve liquidity and accessibility of its shares, Arista completed a 4-for-1 stock split that became effective in December 2024. Just makes individual shares more affordable for a broader base of investors.
That brings us to how they manage their money. How do they fund this rapid growth, this ambitious expansion strategy, and still remain financially disciplined? What's their capital allocation strategy look like?
Their strategy is incredibly disciplined. It's focused on three main pillars. First, reinforcing technology leadership through aggressive R&D investment. Second, expanding into adjacent markets through targeted acquisitions. And third, returning capital to shareholders, all while maintaining an exceptionally robust balance sheet.
Okay.
Sustained investment in research and development is truly the cornerstone of Arista's strategy to maintain its technological edge, particularly in software. In fiscal year 2024, they invested nearly $1 billion, $997 million, in R&D. That represented a significant 14.2% of their total revenue.
14% of revenue back into R&D.
Yeah. For the first 6 months of fiscal 2025, R&D spending was $562.9 million, or 13.4% of revenue, showing continued high commitment. These investments are primarily directed toward advancing EOS and CloudVision capabilities and developing next-gen hardware for higher speeds and new use cases like AI. It ensures they stay ahead of the technology curve.
So R&D is a massive priority, which makes sense for a tech leader. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned targeted acquisitions. What's their philosophy there? It sounds different from the mega mergers we sometimes see in the tech world.
Exactly. Arista famously employs what they call a string of pearls acquisition strategy.
String of pearls.
Yeah. They explicitly avoid large transformative mergers in favor of smaller targeted acquisitions of companies with best-in-class technology in specific domains. This approach allows Arista to efficiently enter new markets and acquire critical capabilities that can then be seamlessly integrated into its core EOS and CloudVision platforms, preserving their architectural simplicity.
Okay. Can you give some examples besides VeloCloud?
Sure. Besides VeloCloud for SD-WAN, notable examples include Pluribus Networks for unified cloud networking fabrics, Awake Security for network detection and response, Big Switch Networks for network monitoring and SDN, Mojo Networks for cognitive Wi-Fi, and Metamako for ultra-low latency FPGA solutions used in high-frequency trading.
Wow, quite a few.
Yeah. This pattern reveals a deliberate and capital-efficient strategy to build out a comprehensive enterprise networking portfolio. By acquiring these technological pearls and integrating them into their central management framework, Arista extends its core software-driven operating model from the data center out to the campus and WAN. It allows them to challenge the product breadth of incumbents without replicating their operational complexity or creating siloed product lines. It's a very clever way to expand.
That's a clever way to expand without diluting their core philosophy.
Yeah.
How do they return capital to shareholders then? Do they pay a dividend or is it through other means?
Arista does not currently pay a dividend. Instead, they choose to return capital to shareholders primarily through disciplined stock repurchase programs.
Buybacks.
These programs reflect management's confidence in the business's long-term prospects and are strategically used to offset dilution from employee stock-based compensation and reduce the overall share count, which increases earnings per share. They've been very active and consistent here. Completed a $2 billion repurchase program, then authorized a new $1.2 billion program in May 2024, followed by another $1.5 billion authorization in May 2025.
Wow, consistent buybacks.
Very consistent. During the first half of 2025 alone, the company repurchased $983 million of its common stock, demonstrates a clear commitment to enhancing shareholder value.
And what about their balance sheet strength? Does this aggressive R&D and acquisition strategy combined with these significant share buybacks put a strain on their cash reserves? Or do they maintain a healthy financial cushion?
Quite the opposite, actually.
Oh.
A hallmark of Arista's financial management is its exceptionally strong and liquid balance sheet. As of June 30, 2025, the company held approximately $8.8 billion in cash, cash equivalents, and marketable securities.
$8.8 billion in cash.
Yeah. And critically, it maintains a minimal long-term debt position. This formidable cash position provides significant financial flexibility. It enables the company to aggressively fund its R&D without external financing, pursue strategic acquisitions as opportunities arise, and confidently navigate potential economic downturns or absorb that cyclicality we talked about from a position of immense strength. They've truly built a robust war chest that underscores their long-term stability and strategic optionality.
Looking ahead then, where does Arista see its biggest opportunities for growth moving forward? What are the strategic initiatives that will fuel their next phase of expansion and continue this impressive trajectory?
Well, their strategy is multifaceted. Mm-hmm. It's leveraging core strengths in AI while simultaneously expanding into adjacent markets. The AML infrastructure, as we've extensively discussed, is the most significant and immediate opportunity. They're poised to capture a substantial share of this massive investment cycle, forecasting that aggregate AI-related networking revenue will surpass $1.5 billion in 2025, growing from near zero in 2022. And this opportunity, it's not merely a hardware refresh cycle. It involves a fundamental architectural shift in the data center.
How so?
AI training workloads demand that lossless network fabric that can deliver data with predictable, ultra-low latency to maximize the utilization of those incredibly expensive GPU clusters.
Right, keeping the GPUs fed.
Exactly. Arista's EOS architecture, with its advanced features for congestion management, real-time telemetry, sophisticated traffic engineering, it's inherently well-suited for building these high-performance fabrics, often performing better than competing proprietary solutions.
That's a clear, well-defined advantage that plays right into their technical DNA. Are they also involved in shaping the future standards for AI networking, or are they just building to existing specs?
Yes, and this is crucial for their long-term strategic positioning. Arista is actively shaping the future of this market as a founding member of the Ultra Ethernet Consortium, or UEC.
UEC, okay.
This is an industry body working to standardize Ethernet for the specific demanding requirements of AI and high-performance computing. This leadership role positions Arista not just as a supplier, but as a key architect of the next-generation networking standard.
Ah, helping set the rules.
Exactly. As the industry increasingly coalesces around open Ethernet as the preferred fabric for AI, a strategic migration away from proprietary tech, like NVIDIA's InfiniBand Arista's early expertise and influence in standardization, create a durable multi-year competitive advantage. They're literally helping write the rules of the road for how AI networks will be built in the future, giving them a real insider's advantage.
So they're cementing their position not just as a vendor, but as a thought leader and standard setter in this critical booming area. What about their expansion beyond the data center? We touched on enterprise earlier, but what's the detailed strategy for capturing that market?
They are making a very concerted effort to expand beyond the data center and into the large enterprise campus and branch networking market, which, as we discussed, is a significantly larger TAM.
Right.
The company is targeting between $750 million and $800 million in campus-related revenue in 2025, which indicates a serious commitment.
$750 to $800 million just from campus.
Yeah. The core of their strategy here is to leverage the same principles that brought them success in the data center. Offer a more modern, reliable, and automated networking solution based on their single EOS software architecture.
Okay.
This contrasts sharply with the often fragmented, complex, and legacy-ridden networks found in many enterprises. And that recent acquisition of VeloCloud is a critical component of this initiative. It gives Arista a leading SD-WAN solution to connect branch offices and create a unified network from the edge to the cloud, all managed with CloudVision.
Right.
This allows them to offer a compelling, simplified alternative to those deeply entrenched incumbents.
That's a significant strategic move into new territory, but it's definitely crowded. And what about international markets? Is there still room to grow outside of the U.S., or have they largely saturated their core market?
Oh, yes. Significant untapped potential exists for growth through international expansion. In fiscal year 2024, the Americas region was the dominant source of revenue, contributing almost 82% of the total.
82% from the Americas. Wow.
Yeah. The Europe, Middle East, and Africa, or EMA region, accounted for a modest 10.2%, and the Asia-Pacific, or APAC, region contributed an even smaller 8.0%.
So lots of room outside the U.S.
Lots of room. Increasing market penetration in these international regions, particularly as cloud adoption and AI buildouts accelerate globally. And, you know, data sovereignty concerns push for localized infrastructure. This represents a key long-term growth lever for the company. There's a vast world out there beyond the domestic market where they can apply their successful model.
And finally, they're also moving into adjacent markets like security and observability. How does that fit into their overall strategy of providing networking solutions? Are they becoming a security company too?
Well, not exactly becoming a security company, but they're strategically moving up the value stack by integrating security and observability functions directly into their core platform.
Okay.
Through acquisitions like Awake Security for network detection and response and Big Switch Networks for network monitoring, the company has developed a suite of tools, things like the DANZI monitoring fabric for real-time traffic analysis. And these are tightly integrated into their CloudVision management software.
I see. Leveraging the network data.
Precisely. This strategy allows Arista to capture a larger share of its customers' overall IT budgets by providing solutions that go beyond basic network connectivity to include critical analytics, deep visibility into network traffic, and advanced threat detection services. It's about being more than just a networking vendor. It's about providing comprehensive IT operational solutions that enhance security and simplify troubleshooting across the entire network, leveraging the unique data that EOS provides inherently.
No company, no matter how strong, is without risks, though. What should we be mindful of with Arista, despite its impressive prospects and strategic positioning?
Yeah, despite the strong prospects, there are several significant risks that warrant careful consideration. Customer concentration is primary and perhaps their biggest known vulnerability.
Right, Microsoft and Meta.
Microsoft accounted for roughly 20% of FY 2024 revenue, and Meta platforms accounted for 14.6%. The loss of, or even just a significant reduction in spending by, either these cloud and AI titans would have a material adverse effect on Arista's financial results.
Yeah.
And this risk is amplified by that lumpy nature of hyperscale capital expenditures and those digestion phases where spending pauses after a major buildout. Management even noted, quite transparently, losing one of its five large AI customers for 2025.
Oh, really?
Yeah, though they still expect overall AI targets to be met due to increased spending from others. But this example highlights the inherent volatility and the potential for any single customer's shift to create significant ripples.
So even if overall AI demand is strong, individual customer relationships can be volatile. Is there also a correlated risk if these large customers are facing similar challenges or technological shifts at the same time?
That's a very insightful point, and yes. The concentration risk is further magnified by the high degree of technological correlation between its largest customers. Both Microsoft and Meta are operating at the forefront of AI infrastructure development, often pursuing similar architectural designs, facing common technological challenges. This creates a correlated risk profile. A single technological breakthrough by a competitor, a major architectural shift they both decide to pursue, or maybe an unforeseen issue with a particular networking approach. It could cause both customers to simultaneously shift their spending patterns away from Arista's solutions.
Right, they could move together.
They could. This potential for correlated movement means a downturn could be sharper and more severe than if the top customers operated in disparate industries with different technology cycles and independent spending decisions.
What about the competitive threats beyond just Cisco, particularly from new entrants or those moving into networking from adjacent spaces? You mentioned NVIDIA.
Yeah, the networking market is intensely competitive, and Arista faces threats from multiple vectors. While Cisco Systems remains the dominant overall market leader with that vast installed base, deep relationships, and is actively targeting AI, a significant emerging threat definitely comes from NVIDIA. As the dominant provider of GPUs and AI computing platforms, NVIDIA is aggressively expanding its networking portfolio. That includes both its proprietary InfiniBand technology and a growing line of Ethernet switches, aiming for that full-stack solution.
Yeah.
There's a considerable risk that NVIDIA could leverage its market power and architectural dominance to more tightly bundle its networking hardware and software with its GPU platforms. That could potentially pressure customers to adopt its end-to-end solution and marginalize third-party networking vendors like Arista, specifically for AI workloads.
So NVIDIA could try to own the whole AI stack.
That's the concern. It's a very direct and potent threat, as NVIDIA could seek to own the entire AI infrastructure stack.
That's a very direct threat, given NVIDIA's dominance in AI. And what about the risk of their most sophisticated customers just deciding to build their own networking solutions entirely, cutting out vendors like Arista altogether?
That's the risk of customer disaggregation, or the white box solutions we talked about earlier.
Right.
The largest and most sophisticated hyperscale customers possess immense engineering talent and financial resources. They are absolutely capable of designing their own networking hardware and deploying it using open source network operating systems like SONiC.
Yeah.
Now, while Arista's EOS and CloudVision software provide significant value add reliability, advanced features, comprehensive support, the long-term threat of disaggregation, where a major customer opts to move away from a fully integrated vendor solution, remains a persistent risk. These clients are incredibly sophisticated, and if the economics or strategic imperative shifts, they could choose to bring more of the networking stack in-house.
Any other significant risks to keep in mind that could disrupt Arista's impressive run?
Well, there's always the risk of broader technology disruption. The networking industry is defined by rapid, often disruptive, technological change. Arista's success is predicated on its leadership in the current architectural shift toward high-speed, software-defined Ethernet fabrics. A future fundamental shift to a completely different networking architecture, maybe new protocols or even radically different underlying physics, perhaps optical computing or quantum networking down the line where Arista doesn't hold a leading position. Well, that could erode its competitive advantages and moats. It's speculative, sure, but it's a long-term risk for any tech company.
True.
And finally, there's execution risk in those adjacencies we discussed. Arista's strategic expansion into the enterprise campus and WAN markets is crucial for long-term diversification and growth. However, these markets are mature, dominated by deeply entrenched incumbents with extensive sales channels, long-standing customer relationships.
Tough nuts to crack.
Very tough. Successfully challenging these incumbents on their home turf and effectively integrating recent acquisitions like VeloCloud represent significant execution challenges. They could divert resources and management focus from their core strengths if not handled meticulously.
The analysis explicitly states no price target, but it does give us context on valuation. What does that tell us about how the market views Arista and what expectations are baked into its current stock price?
Yeah, what's fascinating here is that Arista trades at a significant premium to its traditional networking peers. Its 10-year average price to earnings, or PE, ratio is around 37.5x.
Okay.
But in mid-August 2025, its trailing 12 months PE was significantly higher, somewhere in the range of 53x to 55x.
53 to 55 times earnings.
Yeah. This premium directly reflects the market's exceptionally high expectations for future growth and profitability, as well as its unique positioning within the whole AI boom. The PE multiple has shown considerable volatility over time, too, highlighting its sensitivity to shifts in growth expectations and broader market sentiment. It tells us the market is betting heavily on their continued strong performance.
How does that valuation compare to competitors like Cisco or Juniper? Are we talking about a slight premium or is it something much more pronounced?
Oh, and compared to its primary networking competitors, Arista's valuation premium is stark. It indicates a fundamental difference in how the market perceives its business model and growth trajectory. For example, using that mid-August 2025 data.
Okay.
Arista Networks. Market cap around $172.6 billion, PE about 53.9x, EV sales roughly 21.7x, their non-GAAP operating margin around 43.1%, recent revenue growth about 22.3%.
Right.
Cisco Systems, much larger market cap, $262.2 billion, but a PE of only about 26.5x, EV sales 4.8x, non-GAAP operating margin 22.8%.
Half the PE. Roughly.
Roughly half. And Juniper Networks, even smaller, market cap $13.4 billion, PE around 33.3x.
So Arista's PE is roughly double Cisco's. That's a massive difference. What fundamentally justifies that huge premium in the market's eyes? And what would cause that premium to contract?
Well, the data clearly shows that while Arista's PE ratio is roughly double Cisco's, its recent revenue growth has been significantly stronger, almost tenfold in percentage terms.
Yes.
And its operating margin is substantially higher, more than double Cisco's.
Okay, so the performance metrics back it up somewhat.
They provide crucial context, yeah. The premium multiples aren't arbitrary. They're directly linked to the company's superior financial performance and its perceived position in higher growth end markets. The primary factors underpinning Arista's premium valuation are that sustained high growth, mainly driven by the multi-year AI infra cycle, and its superior profitability. Those software-like operating margins command a higher multiple than typically given to traditional hardware vendors.
Right.
Plus, its market leadership in the fastest-growing segment, high-speed data center and AI networking, justifies a premium compared to slower-growing, more diversified competitors. Now, any signs of a significant deceleration in growth, margin compression, or material loss of market share in its core AI segment would likely lead to a significant contraction in its valuation multiples as the market reevaluates those very high expectations.
Finally, a quick look at the people steering the ship. What can we say about Arista's management and governance? Is the leadership team capable of navigating these huge opportunities and significant challenges?
Arista's leadership team is undeniably a core asset. It combines deep industry experience, a proven track record of execution, and a clear strategic vision that has successfully guided the company's disruptive growth. Jayshree Ullal, the CEO since 2008, has an exceptional track record. She led the company from basically a pre-revenue startup to a multi-billion dollar market leader with a market cap exceeding $100 billion.
Incredible run.
Incredible. And her prior 15-year career at Cisco, where she led the massive Catalyst switching product line, gives her deep credibility and an intimate, almost insider's understanding of the competitive landscape and, frankly, the weaknesses of the incumbents.
And what about the founding team? Do those original technical minds still play a role in guiding the company's direction?
Yes, absolutely. The company was founded by a trio of renowned industry luminaries who continue to play active roles. Andy Bechtolsheim, who co-founded Sun Microsystems, is still with Arista as chief architect, guiding advanced silicon and AI initiatives.
Okay.
Ken Duda serves as chief technology officer, providing continuity for the company's core technical vision and ensuring EOS remains at the forefront of innovation. And David Sheraton, a highly respected computer scientist, was also a co-founder. This strong, technically focused founding DNA is a key element of Arista's engineering-driven culture.
Right.
And the deep industry experience of the executive team, particularly their history at Cisco, has provided a significant strategic advantage. It's been instrumental in crafting Arista's highly effective disruptive approach. They know exactly how to leverage their unique strengths against the incumbents.
What's the biggest challenge for this leadership team going forward, particularly as the company scales and expands into these new markets? How do they avoid becoming the very thing they disrupted?
That's a great question. As Arista continues to scale and expand into the enterprise markets, a key challenge for this leadership team will be to maintain that agile, engineering-first culture and the disciplined single OS philosophy that have been so central to its success. This is crucial to avoid the product silos and operational complexity. It was founded to overcome a common pitfall for rapidly growing tech companies. However, their management has consistently demonstrated strategic foresight. They pivoted swiftly to capitalize on the AI networking opportunity, backed by specific product launches and clear revenue targets. They have a remarkable track record of setting ambitious long-term goals, like their stated target of reaching $10 billion in annual revenue, and then executing in a manner that often meets or exceeds those goals, sometimes ahead of schedule.
And finally, their capital allocation discipline also seems to be a hallmark of their management, reinforcing the financial strength we discussed earlier.
Indeed. The management team has pursued a disciplined and prudent approach to capital allocation. The company's balance sheet is exceptionally strong, with that large net cash position and minimal debt, reflecting a conservative financial posture. Their acquisition strategy has been focused and strategic. That string of pearls approach targeting smaller tech tuck-ins rather than pursuing large, risky, potentially dilutive mergers. And the consistent use of share repurchase programs demonstrates a clear commitment to returning excess capital to shareholders and managing the company's equity base efficiently. It really seems like a very well-managed ship, which adds another layer of confidence to their long-term prospects.
Okay.
So what does this all mean for you, the curious learner? Well, Arista Networks has carved out a compelling and incredibly profitable position by fundamentally disrupting traditional networking with its superior software-centric approach. They've leveraged powerful secular trends like ongoing cloud migration and, of course, the explosive transformative growth of AI.
Right.
While their journey is marked by truly impressive financial performance, a strong technological moat built on EOS, and deep customer relationships, it's also balanced by that significant customer concentration risk and an intensely competitive environment, particularly with the emergence of powerful new players like NVIDIA.
Here's where it gets really interesting as we look to the future, I think. As we consider Arista's ambitious strategy of extending its powerful single OS advantage from the massive data center out to the sprawling, often complex enterprise campus in WAN, mm-hmm. It raises an important question for you to ponder. Mm-hmm. Will the simplicity, the automation, the sheer power of their software-driven approach be enough to truly unseat deeply entrenched incumbents across the entire network? Or will the historical complexity and diverse needs of enterprise IT prove to be a different kind of challenge entirely for Arista to overcome?
Yeah, that's the big question.
Something to mull over as you think about the future of networking infrastructure. We hope this deep dive gave you those aha moments and a clearer, more nuanced picture of this fascinating and pivotal company. Until next time, keep that curiosity alive.